The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do. Cause nothing else can take your place. I feel the warmth of your
face. Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven?" Which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. If you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may know as Jesus. To put this in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today we're going to do part three of the on the subject, who is Yahushua? This is the last in this series. So, overview. This broadcast continues to examine the question, who is Yahushua? And continues the discussion of how Yahushua accomplished what he accomplished. The miraculous planning of the death of Yahushua is discussed. We discuss the covenant meal. We look at the covenant of Yahushua. We note that Yeshua is waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. We discuss the anointing that was upon Yeshua. Finally, we examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It is the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email, articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Then click on the show and podcasts for previous broadcasts. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Questions from last week's program. What do we have to go through? Not totally sure what's being asked here. We have to go through whatever we have to go through to get close to Father. And that's going to be different for each one of us. You're going to come to the point where you decide to get close to Him down your own particular path, and you're going to have to chart your own path to get close to Him. So you're probably going to have some disappointments. You probably have to suffer some losses. Probably going to take a few wrong turnings. And if you keep at it, you will slowly climb the mountain. Question number two. At what part of the mountain do we start to hear Him speak to us? You may hear Him from time to time, even if you're not on the mountain. You need to climb a fair way up the mountain before you do hear Him reasonably clearly. And in doing that, you need to fast on a fairly regular basis. The fastest, no pun intended, the fastest way to get to hear Father clearly is to fast. I recommend 7 repetitions of 3-day water-only fasts at weekly intervals, as I've spoken about it before. You can also do 7-day water-only fasts, 21-day fasts on fruit and vegetables, soup, or if you really intend water-only. And you can do 40-day water-only fasts if you are really, really serious and you're absolutely sure that's what Father wants you to do. Where did all the people who put Him, that's Yeshua, to death, land at their death? Key thing to remember there is that before He died, Yeshua said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So they were forgiven for their sins, all of them, including the high priest, including Pontius Pilate. The whole lot were forgiven. So the where they ended up at their death would depend on how they lived their lives after that. Remember that most of the Jewish people who called for Yeshua to be put to death were believers. So they probably ended up in heaven and quite possibly spent quite a bit of time in hell to pay the price for their unrepented sins. And they didn't know what they were doing, so they didn't know that they were sinning at the time. What happened to Adam and Eve at their death? Well, they were both believers. They slipped. They made a mistake. I'm sure that they repented of it when they realized what they'd done. They probably lived a fairly sinless life after that. They probably were on their guard against Satan, and one can only speculate, but I'm 99.9% certain that Adam and Eve are in heaven. Question number 5, where are the people of the Bible, heaven or hell? Well, that's quite a lengthy answer in the sense that some of the people in the Bible are in heaven, and some of them probably went to hell for quite a time before they got to heaven, and a bunch of them were unbelievers, so they're still roaming the earth as demons or stuck in graves or whatever. How many people from the past are in heaven? I don't have numbers. I only know that there are over 100 billion demons or ancestor spirits people who didn't believe. But there are a significant number of people who have believed and are in heaven. If you read the final quest, you will see that there are substantial numbers there, but heaven is by no means full. How can he, this is Yah, not have any friends after all this time since creation? Just to clarify, Yah has people who have been friends in this lifetime. He only has one true friend alive at this moment in time, and a few others that are very close to being that, coming to that position. People like Noah, Yeshua, Moshe, Moses, David, and quite a few others were friends, and they're in heaven as friends. But again, if you read the final quest, you'll see that there are many thrones vacant, so there's space for a lot more friends. The reason he doesn't have many friends is because of all the lies and all the misunderstandings and the misinterpretation and the wrong thinking that has caused people not to seek to become friends. Question number 8, where did the human race start to go wrong in this process? Well, right at the beginning, they went wrong at the time that Eve was deceived by Satan and Adam was listened to what Eve had to say, Chava. So it's been going wrong right since the beginning. In fact, it started to go wrong at the time when Father didn't throw Satan into the lake of fire. Question number 9. Why is he said to be the king of the Jews, yet they don't even believe in him? Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Partly Christianity lies about Yeshua so much that the Jews can't recognize him. Partly they never did recognize him, otherwise they wouldn't have put him to death. And he became king because they laid hands on him and proclaimed him king before they put him to death. How is it all religions are so incorrect? That's a simple one. That's because Satan is the mighty one, the god of this world with all his demons, and they've been leading people astray. So anything that's popularly believed is popularly believed because Satan has allowed it to be popularly believed because it's not a threat to him. So that's why there's so many Bibles in the world, because Satan thinks the Bible's a useful book, because people worship the Bible instead of having a relationship with Father. Question 11. From what you've been saying, no religion teaching is taught right. How can this be? Same as the previous point. Massive error. Satan is trying to get us to a point where there's not a single human being that has a relationship with Father, that knows about Father, that's in right standing with Father. So they're doing everything they can, lying and deceiving. 12, how many years are between all of these occurrences? Well, creation was just over 6,000 years ago. The flood was 4,500 years ago. Yeshua was 2,000 years ago. And we're now in the last millennium from 2003, this century. The final millennium, the last millennium is 1,000 years, starting in 2003, ending in 3003. Why is he, as Yah, obliged to help if we call on him? If you're a believer and you have entered into a covenant with him, in other words, you've taken the bread and wine and rehearsed the covenant, he has a legal obligation to help you if you're in danger or so forth. Right, returning to our topic, who is Yeshua? To recap, during the creation, the Almighty created a spirit being to help him. The spirit being assisted the Almighty in all sorts of ways and was very close to the Almighty. After Satan rebelled and was cast out to earth, the Almighty and the spirit being agreed that the spirit would be placed in the body of a human being to live a life free of sin, die a terrible death to fulfill prescribed rites for forgiveness, and if successful in living life free of sin and dying without sinning, he would become king of all human kings and rule in heaven alongside the Almighty Creator for eternity. When he came to earth, he was born of a virgin and named Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation. You may incorrectly know him as Jesus. The This broadcast will discuss in detail who he really is, how he accomplished what he accomplished, etc. Really important to understand, Yehoshua was a Jewish Hebrew man. Jesus is not a Hebrew name. He can't have been called Jesus because he was a Hebrew. Yehoshua is a Hebrew name. It's sometimes translated Joshua, but the correct transliteration is Yahushua. Right, the miraculous planning of the death of Yehoshua, where and how. This is so important, folks, to understand the detailed planning that Yah went through to prepare for what happened with Yehoshua in order to ensure that the forces of darkness didn't know what was going to happen, and in order for Yehoshua to become the high priest and the king and the offering for sin, etc. What I'm about to share with you was only discovered by Ron Wyatt in about 1982 and subsequently affirmed by Jonathan Gray. You can search in Google for more information. The stake, not a cross, on which Yehoshua died was precisely above the Ark of the Covenant, which was in a cave several meters below the execution site. There were precision arrangements for Yahushua's death. The cave was in a warren of tunnels and over a mile from the temple where the Ark of the Covenant was last seen, requiring serious logistics. Jeremiah, meaning whom Yah has appointed, hid the Ark in about 586 BC, before the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem. So there was exact forward planning. So in 586 BC, the arrangements were made for Yeshua's death. Yirmiyahu had to be led by the Spirit of Yah through the maze of caves to find the exact cave under the site on the side of the hill called Golgotha and on the side of the main road out of Jerusalem. The Romans had to establish an execution site at the exact location led by Yah. The hole for the stake on which Yahuwah died was freshly excavated so that it was exactly above the ark that no one knew was there. The soldier who directed this had to have been directed by Yah. As Yeshua died, an earthquake split the rock mass through the stake hole all the way down to the cave and cracked the stone lid on the stone box in which the Ark of the Covenant was hidden. After Yehoshua died, a soldier pierced his side with a spear so that blood and water flowed down the stake, down the earthquake crack, and onto the mercy seat, which is the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. Yeshua died of a broken heart at losing the presence of Father. And so all the blood in his heart was released and water was released. This is necessary for sufficient volume of blood and water to run all the way down the crack. Remember that Yehoshua lived and died without committing a single sin. All of this was required for a new covenant to come into existence, for there to be a new high priest, Yeshua, and for there to be an atoning sacrifice for sin. Without all of this, Yeshua would have lived and died in vain. Folks, it is so important to understand the precision of the planning and coordination that Yah put into this, with Yeshua at his side, knowing exactly what was going on. It's mind-boggling, actually. To carry on the in January 2015, I wrote an article, "Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of Yehoshua. You may know it as communion, which is another meaningless religious word. The covenant meal, or rehearsing the covenant, or similar, would be more meaningful language. How frequently do you do this? Do you do it yourself? Or do you wait for a priest or pastor or other office bearer to officiate on your behalf? Do you have to use specially manufactured wafers? Do they have a crucifix or other symbol on them? Or do you just use a piece of unleavened bread, bread without yeast, or Jewish matzos, a water biscuit? Or do you just use ordinary bread? Or you, do you take some tiny fragment because you do not like unleavened bread, or that is all the priest gives you? Do you use wine with alcohol or grape juice? Does it matter? I suggest that some of these points do matter. Fundamentally, do you have a profound realization of the offering, the sacrifice that Yeshua made in order to open the door for you to be your own priest, for you to be able to come before the throne of grace with boldness, for you to have a personal relationship with Daddy Yah, in order for Yeshua to be your advocate, in order for you to have an offering for sin, for you to have access to divine health and healing and divine provision and set apartness, sanctification and salvation, etc. If you do not have such a revelation, you sin, and you should seek such revelation. If you do not rehearse the covenant or take the covenant meal with due reverence, you sin. It's reported that Yeshua was at table with his followers and took the bread that was served with the meal and told his followers that this represented his body and they should do this as often as you eat it. This would have been unleavened flatbread, freshly baked. How frequently do you eat bread and do not do it in remembrance of Yahshua's offering for you? And the wine that was served with the meal, and told them that this represents his blood of the new covenant, shed for remission or forgiveness of sin, and that they should also do this as often as you drink it. How frequently do you drink wine or grape juice and do not do it in remembrance of Yeshua's offering for you and the new covenant that he introduced? You should do it every time you eat bread or drink wine or grape juice. Folks, there's this mistaken belief that communion is something that you have in church on Sunday with an officiating priest or pastor or whatever. It's not so. Yeshua died so that we could be our own priests, so that we could do this ourselves wherever we are, whenever it's appropriate, with whoever is with us. So important. You don't need another human being to officiate between you and Yah. You are equipped. Yeshua is your high priest. Wafers with crucifixes and crosses on them should be avoided. The cross is a pagan, that is a satanic symbol. Yeshua died on a stake, a length of tree trunk. If you cannot bring yourself to eat a meaningful portion of the bread, rather than do not do it at all. I also pray that I may walk in the fullness of the covenant and that I may be taught the full meaning of the covenant. I commend this practice to you. Times when I'm under intense pressure or seeking to sanctify myself or fasting, I do this up to 3 times a day at each mealtime. The point is to remind yourself of the covenant and to claim the promises. I wouldn't do it every day, 3 times a day for any length of time, otherwise it starts to become rote and you take it for granted. You should pray as led, but following the lines along which I pray. Pause. Reflect on what Yeshua went through. Sometimes I rehearse in detail all he suffered and was subject to in order that I may not take the bread and wine lightly. Taking the bread. Father, I recall that on the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to those who followed him, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." Please help me to walk in the fullness of what this represents to you and teach me the fullness of what it means to you. I then pray whatever I feel is appropriate at that time, sometimes nothing and sometimes a very detailed prayer. Folks, there's no recipe. You can take what's written in the Bible. You can take what I've just given you, which is an extension of what's in the Bible, or you can pray your own prayer. Then take the cup. I use red grape juice, but you're at liberty to take red wine and pray, "Father, I recall that after supper, Yeshua took the cup and gave it to those who followed him and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, I ask that I may walk in the fullness of all this cup presents to you, and that you will teach me what it means to you. I then pray as I feel appropriate, reciting the promises of the covenant. Pray for the day, protection, deliverance, etc. For example, I thank you that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, that your messengers or angels encamp around me to protect me, that every tongue that rises against me in unrighteous judgment will be refuted, that you supply all my needs according to your riches and glory through the anointing that was upon Yeshua, that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that I can ask or imagine, that I walk in divine health, etc. I encourage you to adopt a similar practice. We do not walk in the fullness of the covenant by remembering it now and again, and we insult Yeshua by waiting for some other person to officiate when we're entitled to take the covenant meal ourselves. As a general rule, I pray a lot more after I've taken the grape juice or the wine. Fundamentally, the blood is the essence of covenant, so the grape juice or wine is representing the blood. Quite frequently, when I drink the grape juice, I dab a little on my forehead, on the back of my neck, on my right thumb, and on my right big toe to protect me from demonic attack. Right, let's talk a bit more about the covenant of Yeshua. The covenant that came into existence through the death of Yeshua is just one of many covenants entered into between Yah and men. The covenant of Yeshua was entered into in a manner that resulted in the entire Israelite people being party to the covenant. That was a whole mass of people gathering around him and cursing him and beating him, laying hands on him, transferring their sin to him. The covenant is only directly available to people who are of Israelite descent, the European, Russian, Indian, North American Indian, and some Middle Eastern people. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Others, like the Arabic, African, and Far East Asian people, need to be grafted into the covenant, although through fornication, there are many more people of Israelite descent on earth than most people realize. This covenant is an extension of the covenant that was facilitated by Moshe, Moses, which required a priesthood and sacrificial livestock. These are replaced by Yeshua as priest and Yeshua as sacrificial lamb, represented by the bread and the wine. This was necessary because of the collapse of the priesthood, which made it impossible for the terms of the covenant through Moshe to be observed. In other words, the covenant of Yeshua was to make things easier because of the degradation of humans. The covenant of Yeshua also gave authority over the satanic realm to those who serve Yah and have a revelation of their authority in the name of Yeshua. The covenant of Yeshua is widely misunderstood and incorrectly taught. Yeshua is waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. There is a major error in widespread circulation. That is that Yeshua is going to return soon and sort out the mess on earth. It is said Jesus is coming soon. On the contrary, Yeshua is waiting for us to implement authority over the forces of darkness and prepare a way for Yeshua to return. So what is special about Yeshua? The spirit that was placed in the man Yeshua was the first created being and worked as an assistant to Yah throughout the creative process. As such, he was fully informed about the situation on earth and the contest and was able to live about life without sin. He was born of a virgin so that there were no bloodline curses operating on him. This also enabled him to live free of sin. By doing this, he set an example. So he is the way, but only in that sense, not in some mystical way. He is the way because he showed us the example. He showed us the way. He died without sinning, and death therefore had no hold on him. And so he was resurrected and gained authority over the forces of darkness, which he subsequently delegated to those who follow his example and acknowledge him as king. As the firstborn from the dead, he holds the highest rank in heaven as king of all human kings and lord of all human lords. It's so important to understand, folks, Yeshua has obtained authority over the forces of darkness. However, he's in heaven, so he needs us to execute that authority. We can only execute that authority if we're free of sin and we follow his example and we know how to call on his name. Yeshua will return once the true message has been preached to all the earth. Before Yeshua can return to earth, the true message of Yah's laws and kingdoms must be preached, that is, made available to all the earth. That is a key purpose of my website, to make information available in order to comply with that requirement. The church put Yeshua to death. The formal groupings of people who today regard themselves as the church are committing the same sins as the formal believers at the time of Yeshua, only worse. Remember that the church is an inaccurate translation of assembly. Thus, the assembly of believers in the time of Yeshua, that is the church, put Yeshua to death. Yah says that if Yeshua were to live today, the church would again oppose him and again put him to death. So, two prerequisites if Yeshua is to return, and I stress if. It is by no means certain that Yeshua will return. First and foremost, there must be at least one believer on earth who is a true believer, who's free of sin, and is walking in right standing with Yah, so that that person can pray for Yeshua to return. Secondly, we need to make, if Yeshua is going to return in all glory, we need to make his enemies his footstool. That means we've got to walk in truth. We've got to walk free of sin. Not just one or two of us, but millions of us. And then we need to preach the truth to all the world. At the moment, there is so much in the way of lies that it's virtually impossible for anybody to believe. The Muslims and the Jews don't believe the Christians because there's so much lies in what the Christians teach, and so on and so on and so on. Authority in the name of Yahushua. Because of Yahushua's sinless life and his resulting status in heaven, he was given authority over the forces of darkness, but he immediately delegated this to those who follow his example and have faith through his covenant. This authority allows believers to bind and cast out demons, cut curses, and various other activities that restrict or reverse the measures that the forces of darkness apply in attempting to destroy believers and win the contest. Limitations in the name of Yeshua. The name of Yeshua is relevant in combating the forces of darkness. It is not relevant in general prayer. Once one has a relationship with Yah, and it is not relevant in worshiping or praising Yah. You do not worship Yah in the name of Yeshua. You speak to demons in the name of Yeshua. You bind them, you cast them out, you send them where Yah wants them to go. That you do in the name of Yeshua. You administer healing in the name of Yeshua. You do not worship Yah in the name of Yeshua. The blood of the covenant. The blood of the covenant is simply a symbol of the covenant, and it only has any efficacy as a legal representation and reminder of the covenant. It has no magical properties. So the blood, you put the grape juice on your forehead or wherever, or you anoint yourself with grape juice. You are simply showing the forces of darkness your submission to the covenant with Yah, your realization of the covenant with Yah. Who Yahshua is not. Yahshua is not Yah, or Yah in the flesh, or the messenger of Yah. It's not. It was the spirit of Yah on and in Yahshua, the anointing, incorrectly translated Christ, that enabled Yah to speak through Yeshua, cast out demons, and perform miracles. This happens with anointed believers today. Old Testament versus New Testament. In Yah's view, there is no such thing as Old Testament and New Testament. Yah's covenant with mankind through Yeshua was just one of many covenants Yah has entered into with various groups at different levels and times, and still does today. There is a smooth progression of history before Yeshua, during the life of Yeshua, and after the death of Yeshua. To track time in terms of pre-Yahushua and post-Yahushua, or in other words, AD and BC, or Old Testament and New Testament, is erroneous and attaches a significance to Yahushua that is not appropriate. On what day was Yahushua born? Yah always works according to his set-apart holy days. So Yahshua was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which it just happens is this coming Saturday, and was circumcised on the great day of the feast, which is Saturday next week. So really, really important to get a fix on the fact that Yeshua is a man. The two big miracles in that is that he lived without sin, and that he died exactly over the Ark of the Covenant so that he could become high priest, so that he could become the offering for sin. Important to recognize that those who followed Yeshua did not know Torah, Torah being the Jewish word for so-called scripture. The people who followed Yeshua were, for the most part, not learned and did not know the Torah, the Bible, intimately. They followed Yeshua because they recognized the anointing of the Spirit of Yah on him and were drawn to him. Yah wants relationship with us, not academic learning of some collection of writings by human beings. Greater works than Yeshua did? We are called to do greater works than Yeshua did. In order to do this, we must realize that we can do this. Decide that you want it, pray to be able to do it, and then get on and do what you need to do to come to a place where you can live your life free of sin and walk in the fullness of the authority that is available to you. I hope that as you have listened to me over these last 3 weeks talking about Yeshua, that you have put aside a lot of the mystical wrong teaching about Jesus, that you've recognized that this is an exceptional human being, only a human being. He said we can do greater works than he did. So we can. We just have to decide to do it. If you stop worshiping Jesus and just say Yeshua is a prophet who lived 2,000 years ago and showed by example what we can do, I'm going to do greater works than he can. I'm going to read the Bible about him as an example of what I can aspire to. It changes the whole thing dramatically. Then there is no Trinity. There's only one place in the Bible, and it's not in all Bibles, that refers to in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That does not evidence a Trinity. Yah is one mighty one, and we are commanded to worship him only. Trinity is a pagan, that is, satanic concept, and should be avoided entirely. It is sin to think, teach, or act in terms of a Trinity. Yeshua must be downplayed to a relevant, practical level. As I said a moment ago, remember always, he was and is a human being, no more. A very powerful human being, a very anointed human being, a very gifted human being nonetheless. Yeshua is not the only way. Many people believe that it is not possible to come to belief in Yah except through Yeshua. The name Yeshua means Yah is salvation. It is not possible to come to Yah except through Yah's salvation, but it is possible to receive Yah's salvation through direct personal realization of the existence of Yah without knowledge of Yeshua, the man. It is easier to come to Yah and clean up your act through Yeshua, but many Muslims and Jews have relationships with Yah without the name of Yeshua. There are others who come to relationship with Yah without the name of Yahshua. And the whole concept of Jesus is so corrupt today that most people who preach and teach about Jesus, let alone in terms of Yahshua, are in error at some major level. I wrote in September 2013, the anointing that was upon Yahshua. Christ in the verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in the verse, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Both relate to Jesus strengthening us and supplying our needs, don't they? Not so. They relate to the Spirit of Yah, the almighty creator of the heavens and the earth, that anoints believers to various levels, strengthening us and giving us the anointing and therefore the wisdom to obtain our needs. These two verses would be accurately presented as, I can do all things through the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, which strengthens me, and my mighty one shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory through the anointing of the Spirit of Yah that was upon Yahushua. Both relate to the Spirit of Yah imparted to the believer through faith and relationship with Yah. The substitution of Christ for a technical description relating to the impartation of the Spirit of the Almighty Creator on a believer through faith is at the root of massive misunderstandings. Coupled to a widespread belief that Christ is Jesus' second name and that Christ is synonymous with Jesus, this has given rise to the massive confusion that relates to Jesus and underpins the fundamental confusion that constitutes the religion known as Christianity. When one sees the word Christ, one should immediately substitute anointing of the Spirit of Yah or anointed of the Spirit of Yah, depending on context. One will then realize that the miracles performed by Yahushua were performed by the Spirit of Yah in and through Yahushua, not by the man Yahushua, and will turn to worship the Creator and not the anointed servant. When one realizes that it is the anointing of the Spirit of Yah on one that will supply all one's needs, then drawing close to Yah and getting filled with His Spirit becomes a vital necessity if one is to survive, let alone prosper in this world. The more one looks to other interpretations, the more one is drawn into the demonic realm. Folks, this last point is really important. A lot of believers think that somehow Yah is going to mystically and miraculously provide for them. It's not so. Yah will provide for you by giving you wisdom to get wealth. He will provide for you by helping you to get an education. He will provide for you by giving you revelation of particular skills, ways of doing things, inventions, all sorts of things. But he will help you to earn a living. He will help you. We are all, as a result of Adam's sin, we are all cursed to earn our living by the sweat of our brow. You're not going to sit back and have Yah just pour money. He's not going to open up some treasury or whatever in heaven and pour money out on you. You are going to have to work for it. You're going to have to market. You're going to have to sell. You're going to have to manufacture. You're going to have to distribute. You're going to have to do whatever it is or get a job or whatever in order to earn your keep. It is so that as you grow as an anointed believer, you're more likely to end up in business for your own account, because that gives Father more flexibility in how he deals with you. But even if you've got a job, he will give you the wisdom to get that job and to do the job well. So that wraps up my presentation on Yeshua. We'll move on to another topic next week. And I would like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to Him. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you are failing in your life purpose and will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, as I say repeatedly, Father wants you, the person I'm talking to right now, He wants you to become His friend. He wants you to overcome. Doesn't matter your age, your gender, your wealth or lack of it, your education or lack of it, what religion you belong to or no religion. Doesn't matter if you're Jewish or Muslim or Hindu or whatever, Christian. He wants you to become His friend. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, the color of your hair, the color of your eyes. He wants you to become His friend. In closing, 5 key documents and a video on the main menu webpage. At the top of the menu, Why Seek Relationship, Most Important Video, Most Important Message I've Ever Created. Other menu items on the web, the main menu. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. 7 components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. Where will you spend eternity? All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are also available on the radio page, and they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show in the top menu and then the drop-down podcasts. That's Relationship with Creator Radio, all one word. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the Compilation of Most Writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Refer james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search is in the top bar of the site, and it's also about 2 screen pages down in the left-hand sidebar, which is slightly more convenient to use. But it's full Google capability to search the site. There are about 1,000 web pages and probably more than 1,000 articles. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies His footstool. Folks, so important. Father Yah is lonely. The satanic and demonic realm are laughing. They're close to total victory. And you can make a huge difference. Not the person behind you or to the side of you, you. I encourage you. It's such an important thing. The rewards are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great authority and esteem in heaven forever. It's a huge opportunity. And once you're free of sin and in that position, your prayers will also change things on earth dramatically. You will be able to pray and change governments and things like that at Father's leading. So important. Please contact me. Good night. Father,